Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Wimps.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Right, Coach. We got a lot of stuff going on again, as usual.
Man.
We don't lack for information to share with our audience, do we?
Yeah, the world is spinning. I would say in some spaces it's spinning out of control.
Yes.
And in some spaces it's finding its balance. And just thinking about balance in the world of sports, we got KD still searching for a home.
Yeah.
Still pushing for a trade. Got Kyrie Irving gridlocked. He only can go one place.
Lakers?
One place, or they might send him to a land of oblivion, like a Utah or something, and say, hey.
Utah or Sacramento.
Yeah. Put you at the end of the world.
Yeah. He has burned some bridges.
Yes,
man.
He has.
And now, you know, it's going to be tough for him to find that home, man.
Yep.
The word is out. You can't depend on Kyrie, man. Great talent, right?
Great talent.
I'm not talking about he's not a good player. Excellent player. But, you know, there's other things that affect the team's chemistry. And even as a good player, if they can't count on you, then that means that your value is dropped in the league. So, and if you're watching the summer league, ESPN, there's the talent pool in the NBA is outstanding.
Man, it's good. Them kids are great.
Got some young players out there, man. Just need an opportunity, and some clubs need to take a look at building this thing from the ground up versus trying to pull in these veteran pieces who sometimes have probably been overpaid.
Yeah. One team that gets a knock that's trying to do it from the ground up, one that's successful and one that's struggling, the Orlando Magic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Right? They're doing it from the ground up. Then the team that's following them that's successful is the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, boy, watch
they
out.
They're really doing it from the ground up. All young core. But I think they're going to be in a situation where they're going to be like the Clippers, early Clippers, when they had Darius Miles and Quinn Richardson, the knucklehead guys with the podcast. On that team, they had Elton Brand, Lamar Odom, Corey Maggette. They had Andre Miller. They had all this young talent. And they had an owner that didn't want to pay them because they was all restricted free agents. So, you know, everybody looking for the max deal after their first 3 years. So Orlando can be in a situation like that. And another team that's just a throwaway group is Oklahoma, OKC. But they got two pieces. They got Chet and they got the Giddy's boy.
Yeah.
They got the other young pieces there.
They got some young folks in OKC. Man.
I don't think they got nobody on their team over 23 years old.
No. Almost like an AAU team.
Yeah, it is. Because look, a lot of those guys come from Chris Paul's AAU team.
Okay.
When he played with them and made the playoffs,
right.
He was playing with his AAU team.
Okay.
His team he owns.
All right.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah. He played on my team when he was in high school. He played on my team. Now he's on the NBA team with me. And matter of fact, if Chris Paul had a championship and he wasn't searching for a ring, I would have stayed with OKC.
Yes.
And I would have transitioned probably into like a general manager or a coach, just playing my career out with the team where I'm picking pieces for OKC from my AAU organization, just translated to the NBA.
Yeah. And some organizations have the concept, you know, where whatever it costs for us to be a winner, we're going to do that. Others say, we just want to be profitable, all right? We're not necessarily going to overspend. And unfortunately, a lot of those teams that take that route never get to that championship level. In the NBA, you just have to spend money, man, to retain that great talent. And some of these younger guys, it gets to a point where ownership have to say, you know, we're going to keep them or we're going to use them as trade bait. We'll take them and we'll sell them off, get some other pieces, and continue being profitable.
That's it. That's all it's about. Are we going to make our money back? And I was just thinking, closing out on this KD thing, I was just thinking, I said, the only way KD moves, if a player like Donovan Mitchell, they got 4 years left on his deal, he moves, and you move the draft picks that Utah acquired from Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
and you bring a third team in where KD wants to go. And whoever that third team is, those players go to Utah, and those trades, those draft picks go to that team.
Okay.
And KD get to go where he go, and Donovan Mitchell get to go where he go.
Well, Mitchell definitely wants out of Utah.
Yeah, he does.
He's already made that known that since they got rid of the coach, who he, you know, had a good relationship.
That coach was good.
I thought he was
a good coach. Quinn Snyder.
Yeah, Quinn Snyder.
He was a good college coach too. He was good. He was one of the few guys that translate from college to the NBA.
Yeah, so we don't, you know, that story has not been told.
I don't know how they got rid of him.
I don't know what happened, right? If there was a falling out with upper management or whatever, and he decided, well, okay, no problem, I'll just walk away. But, and when you do that, you lose the confidence of a lot of your
players. Yeah, he resigned.
Players.
He resigned.
Yeah, he
He's like, resigned. I'm tired of this.
Yeah, so I don't know. A lot of times, you know, those guys get the choice. We're either going to resign or we're going to fire him.
Yep, he's going to get another job.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Because Quinn's, I was thinking Quinn is the Lakers coach.
Yeah, that would have been a good spot for him, too.
Because he know how to put the system together.
Yeah.
He know how to put the system.
And, you know, but do you really, you know, a lot of times they do you want to work for the buses, right? It's like.
And Kurt Rambis. And Kurt Rambis.
Yeah, and Rambis. And Magic. And LeBron.
Man.
You know, some owners, you don't even know that they exist, right?
Stop calling me. Stop calling me. Ask me.
Don't even know.
Yeah, certain teams don't even know who the owner is.
Yeah. But with the Lakers, we know.
We know.
And we know how they operate. So a lot of dynamics in that world.
Yep. I want to give a shout out to a podcast that's on YouTube. It's called Pivot with Shannon Fry, RC. And Frank, from that played for the Jaguars, those three brothers, man, they podcast is amazing.
Okay.
And they podcast is to the point. I watch it. I watch all of them. And they have a lot of sports guys on there, NBA, football, but they have actual normal people on there too.
Okay.
So I'm giving them a promo, and it's just like, but it, for the narratives that we hear from the media, like the ESPNs, News, Football USA, and all the sports outlets, when an athlete is in a bad situation. The mass media has a way to take that story and shift it. Like, even from Kyrie, you don't know if it's what's really true and what's not true, but we could tell that he's in this situation. But this podcast gives athletes a platform to speak on their own behalf of what happened. And one of the best ones I saw, Tony, was Jamarcus Russell's.
Okay.
That had the best pro day.
Yeah. Went to the Raiders.
Yep. Went to the Raiders.
Quarterback.
Signed a 3-year deal with $35 million guaranteed. And when he came in, Davis, like you said, the owner wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
The owner saw it. But the owner at the time, he wasn't an old Al Davis. He was old Al Davis.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, remember, Al Davis was like a bus.
Oh, yeah.
He was hands-on.
Al Davis fought the NFL.
Yeah, and he was real with it.
And won.
Right? And won. He was up in your face, and he was really for the players.
Yeah.
He was I want this kind of player. I want this. So when he drafted Jamarcus Russell, he was talking about having Randy Moss jersey on. When he got drafted, like, yeah, I get to be his quarterback. I'm going to have this. And he said, soon the draft day, they traded Randy Moss to New England. He's like, what does Tom Brady need to do with Randy Moss?
Mm.
And that year they got like 84 touchdowns or something, the team. And just thinking about that, I'm like, he said, they did that all on purpose. And he said, when I got to the Raiders, found out they didn't really want me. It's just Al Davis wanted me.
Okay, but the coaching staff and the GMs or what have you didn't want him.
And you know, a lot of times when the coach come in, they want to bring their own guys in.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
So
every
said,
level of football.
He said, I didn't get a chance my first year. Then my second year, I won about five games. But it was like, I was being played. Sometimes they had practice, wouldn't say so. Or they say, I'm going out doing this, doing that. And I wasn't even doing that.
Wow.
And then he said, they asked him a question about being a bus. He said, what they say? He said, am I the biggest bus? He said, let them say I'm the biggest bus. That means that if they say I'm the biggest, I can live with that.
Okay.
Because I know what's been done to me in the NFL.
Okay.
And then he was
never
talking.
Heard that story.
Yeah, he was just talking. It was like, he looked like he was doing well, but he talked about the trauma in his life from his uncles and brothers. You know, he's from down south, he's from Alabama.
Okay.
And how his grandmother used to take him to the fundraisers, you know, tour days, and watch his brother, uncles, stuff, play football and eat and be around the band. But he shared that story, and I could feel that it was all true. And it made me think, like, man, no other platform but Pivot would have gave him that opportunity to speak out on his story. And I could tell he was telling the truth. And I could also tell that he was like, I was 21.
Young.
I want somebody to show me.
Young, yeah, right.
And nobody wanted to show me.
Okay,
They wanted me to make me look bad.
I get it.
Yeah. Nobody was there to teach me. When they talked about the videotape of him saying, like, oh, watch this film or look at the playbook. Mm-hmm. He said, did you see the playbook? He said, it was empty. And he was like, why would somebody do that? And he said, I ain't the type of guy going to watch 10 hours of film. I could play.
Okay. Set him up for failure.
Yep. He said, they wanted to. They did that on purpose. So I was like, so speaking of setting up a failure, just transition to our show about, because we about finance here. Inflation.
Man.
It's 9%. 40-year high, Tony.
Out of control, man.
Man.
And we know we understand what it does to the average American, right? We understand and the additional expense. But the rich is not isolated either. Elon Musk, Tesla.
Yes.
His fortune plunged $62 billion. Jeff Bezos, Amazon, $63 billion that his wealth dropped, $63 billion. Mark Zuckerberg lost half of his fortune in Meta and Facebook since this, haven't caught a recession yet.
He gonna be like the MySpace dude in a minute.
So these guys have lost a tremendous amount of money, but they made a tremendous amount of money during the pandemic, right?
Right.
And the story is over the 500 richest people lost $1.4 trillion in the first half of 2020. Never happened before. So all those gains that they got during the pandemic, especially Bezos, because, you know, that's what put him on the map with Amazon, next day delivery. People couldn't go out and shop, so all that stuff got delivered. And then that became a platform for the Walmarts of the world, the Meijers, the Targets, where now you can either come and park in their parking lot and they bring out your groceries, put them in your car.
Yep, shipped and all those things.
Yeah, all that stemmed from the pandemic. And Amazon made a tremendous amount of money, but yet lost part of that because of the state of the economy.
Yeah, people can't afford for that extra subscription no more.
Right.
So when we for just speaking on Elon Musk, I like what he did with Twitter. On how he offered $44 billion. He showed him the money. That's all he did, was showed him the money, and he got them to disclose their errors.
Uh-huh.
And when they disclose their errors, that's all he wanted.
That's all.
And so they want to sue him. But all he wanted to do is
he played him.
Yeah. He said, now y'all gotta get rid of all these little bots that's causing these problems in our country.
Okay.
In America. In this world, basically. You gotta get rid of these bots, because I showed you, I offered the money and showed you what's wrong with your system.
Yeah.
Now you got a corrupt system and I ain't paying $44 billion. Mm-hmm. Now you can't make me, but I ain't never wanna buy it. I was just mad that 45 was doing his thing, and I wanted to show y'all how the social platforms spread lies.
Yes.
He did it. And I give him a hand for putting himself on the line and playing the game. Yeah. He played
used
the game.
His money to show the world what it was about, man.
Man, he could drag
it was a slick move.
He about to drag a company down into the dirt. But you know, just thinking about, like you said,
the day to day.
Yeah, the day to day person. So I was thinking the other day, I said, okay, 9%, 40-year high. So savings, right? Finance rates, buying a car, everything up is up. Inflation is at 9%. So let's go through our regular day. In the morning, you get up, you have breakfast. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're going to fast food or you're cooking at home, grocery bill at least 10% higher.
No doubt about it. Eggs, so grocery milk, bill, bread, all that stuff, right? All your staples are up. All right,
so you up in the morning, you cut the water on, water, brush your teeth, electricity.
It's all up.
Surging, especially in the summer months, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So yes. That's up 9%.
If not more, yeah.
All right? So you're like, man, that's up 9%. That's two things. Then you go get ready for work. You drive. You get in the car. You got to go to the gas station, put some gas in your car.
Yep.
That's another 9%, possibly more.
And on average, I would assume for people to fill up their tanks, if they got a mid-sized vehicle, you're close to $50.
Yeah, I'm at $100. I'm in an SUV. I'm paying $100.
So, yeah.
Yep. I'm paying $100 when I fill up. It lasts decent. I'm only in Muskegon, but I pay $100. But I used to pay $60.
Right.
To fill up my SUV, because when I used to put in $30, it used to put me on half.
Okay. So, yeah. So, that's, again, there's additional money that's being spent that you didn't have.
So. Yep. So, that 9%, right?
Keep going.
So, then you at work. You eat lunch. Do you go out? Do you eat what you already got?
You bring a bag lunch, or do you?
So if you go out,
you
paying an extra 9%.
At least.
Then you like, oh, I gotta go. You get off work, or you got your cell phone.
Yep, it's gonna increase.
That's gonna increase.
Your insurance Well, your vehicles are high.
We've it's been up
before. That yeah. The auto insurance companies in Michigan are saying that for every dollar that they take in,
mine went up 10%.
They're losing. Yeah, there you go. They're spending out $1.08. That's because parts are hard to get. They got to pay the mechanics more because of inflation. So all that equates into a higher premium for your auto insurance and medical insurance, right?
Yes, sir.
All that goes up too.
That's up. And then, you know, speaking of that, I'm like, I said my insurance was 160, now it's 175. That's 10%.
10%.
Because I look, I say, I ain't had no points or nothing. Like, what's this? But it's my 6-month renewal. And yep. They're like, you could do this. And then this is how they try to do the tricky thing. They always send that paper to get you to sign off if you got health insurance.
Yeah.
But you always told me, stay unlimited, Chauncey. Stay unlimited. Don't worry about that. So I'm talking to my wife, looking at my insurance. I'm like, what's this? She was like, it's only $103 for your insurance if you sign this waiver of not unlimited, right? Just but with the $500,250, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I'm keeping this one because I got the $500,250, but I got unlimited. These are all my years.
You're young enough that if something were to happen, you don't want no issues, right?
Right.
So what they've done is they've allowed people that are 62 that have Medicare Part A, Part B, you can opt out. Okay, you can opt out of the PIP.
But that's them limits, though. I've seen this, Tony, when it comes to accidents where you get hurt, you might be waiting for some time to pay the medical bill.
Absolutely.
So when it came to, when I got an accident, my health insurance was footing the bill, right? When I was like, here go my health insurance. And I was able to go see all the providers I needed. So then when it came for my auto insurance, 3 to 4 months in of my accident, of my rehab, they contacted my health insurance, got on my auto insurance, and then they mediated and figured it out. I said, oh, okay, we paid all these bills. The overage is here. Auto insurance.
Yep.
So that's why people are like, oh, my auto insurance is cheap now. Don't get caught up in that.
Right. Especially, you know, like you say, you're young, you're still working, paid all your bills, paid your lost wages. That was the benefit of having the unlimited.
That's right.
And now they've given you these options to pare it down to not unlimited, but you can get to 500,000, or you can get to 250, or you can opt out.
You better keep it unlimited. You get hurt and you can't work. I'm telling you, audience.
Yep.
You'll be a fool.
Yep. That's
having
it.
Some ride around with some. Oh, I got full coverage. No, you don't.
Nope.
Unlimited.
No doubt about it.
Don't look at it like, oh, that's $60 I'm saving a month. I save $600 over a year. You get hurt, that means you out of all your income.
Yep.
Unless you got some savings.
There's a cap.
Yep.
So that $250,000. Say, for instance, if that's what you chose as your PIP, once it gets to $250,000, you're done because now any other bills come in, they're yours.
They're yours, yep.
Yeah, so, and it doesn't take long to chew that up.
Man. If
you've been involved in a car accident.
Shoo, I know, brother.
It don't take
long
at all.
Yep, but this also translates to what we're talking about, inflation.
Inflation.
So imagine somebody being in an accident, they don't have unlimited.
Yep.
They reach the limit, and the bills are already killing them.
Yep.
And stressing them out.
They can bankrupt you.
Yep, they can bankrupt you. So just thinking about that day, 9%, just round it off to 10.
Might as well.
You buy 10 things, you look at your reserves from the pandemic, your stimmies, the money you save, the stock market money, that's gone. I think my school one lost 27%.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
It's just there. So when you think about it, okay, this is a loss of 27% in that funding, and you're like, stock market took a hit,
and you're like, still okay, taking a hit.
Yeah, I still got to buy stuff. I still got to buy these 10 things to go to my day. And I'm like, hold up, did my wages increase?
Not to that degree.
So if I buy 10 things, I'm at 100% of my income extra out of spent because I'm 9, 9, 9, 9, 10 times. I'm 90%
That's it.
Out of my pocket.
Extra. That takes away that discretionary income that we've talked about where once you pay all your bills, what's left, right? So in the past, just on the see, on the average, it was $1,000 a month.
Right.
So now, that's gone. It's probably half now.
Probably 500,
Yeah, if you're lucky, you know, depending on how well you manage your money. But again, that emergency fund, that discretionary income is being affected because of your day-to-day living expenses, which is related to inflation.
Man.
And for people that are on a fixed income, for those folks that receive Social Security.
Yes, sir.
And the auto industry started this years ago with the COLA, right? The UAW was big on cost of living adjustments, which stemmed from the 70s and 80s when inflation again was rampant in the auto industry. Wages didn't change, and they went on strike for COLA, cost of living adjustment, that basically says that if inflation is at 10%, then the auto workers in the UAW will automatically receive a 10% increase in wages to offset the cost of living. Okay, and then that concept was taken in by the federal government for Social Security benefits. And as it stands now, those recipients of Social Security, they're looking at a 10% cost of living adjustment in the coming years because of inflation. So COLA is alive and well in this country. And it's great to see that the federal government understands that and they're trying to help offset that, because those people that are on fixed income, they can't go back to work, because there was a lot of people that quit work during the pandemic, right? They retired early, they got out of the workforce, but now
they're coming back.
It's driving them back to work.
And then the jobs report, it says
the jobs report is still strong.
Yep. So it's jobs out there that people that's coming out of retirement and they picking up that extra money.
Yep. They're forced to go back to pick up that extra money. 3% unemployment, basically, in my opinion, is zero, because that 3%, they're not looking for work, because you still see help wanted signs everywhere.
Yep.
For individuals that want to work.
And that 3%, and you know how it goes, it's like a 3-year cycle or something like that. So like they keep those numbers reporting 3 to 5 years. So then if you've been somebody without a job 3 to 5 years, you out of the data.
Yeah.
You're not included in the data. You're like, oh, he ain't worked in 3 to 5 years.
Actively don't count. Looking.
Yeah, you're not actively.
You're just unemployed.
Yeah. And you living off the hustle.
And I think you can ride through certain neighborhoods and kind of look around and and determine who's actually working every day and who's not, right?
Yeah, because you see them. The routine is real. The routine of the hustle is real.
Yeah.
But just, you know, thinking in that space and then thinking what's going on globally, Tony, from the G7, like, I've been hearing a lot of news, like, leaders are being assassinated. Leaders are involved in defamation of character suits with relationships outside of marriage when it comes to prime ministers and whole staff. Yeah, whole staff leaving. Like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I can't be a part of this. Sort of like the same thing that happened now that we're finding out about what went on around the January 6th situation. There were a lot of folks that were ready to exit that administration because of what was happening.
Yeah, I heard an interview. I've been listening. So I heard an interview the other day where a guy, they had him, and they was questioning him, right? He was a prominent figure in another state. So they asked him and say, okay, why did you go? He said, well, you know, I'm on social media. I'm pretty much on Twitter and Facebook, and I really respect some of the ideals and initiatives that Trump has. And when they said that they stole the election, I just felt like I needed to come in full charge and do something about it. He said, why would you come in and you know, come into the White House? Because I just felt like we had an alliance. We was in agreement. Mm-hmm. And the way he talked was, this person on this interview, he talked like he didn't do no wrong.
Right. A lot of them don't. And I think sometimes we miss the total impact. You know, there were people actually killed, right? We know there were people that actually got killed.
Officers and citizens.
So who's being charged? Who's being charged with the murder of some of those security agents at the Capitol building? Nobody that I know of has been put up on charges, be it 45, be it people that was in his administration. Somebody has to be held accountable for what took place that day. And then by that, I mean, they need to be locked up, all right? You don't get a slap on the wrist. You don't get to take the Fifth and not testify and tell the truth. You take the Fifth, we're going to lock you up for contempt of court.
Man.
But just to have the hearings and then nothing happens, it's a sham. Somebody has to pay for what happened that day, in my opinion. And be it 45, the people in his staff, those that sit around him that allowed it to happen, needs to be held accountable. And now that's what you go out and you march for. That's what you get in the streets about, is that those people need to understand that this country cannot operate that way, and these folks get off scot-free.
Man, it's just showing the divide in our country that there's a possible opportunity where 45 might get to run again if he's not, if he's acquitted.
Well, it won't be. He shouldn't be acquitted based on all the information that's been coming out. He should never be allowed to run for public office in this country again, be it a dog catcher.
But if he's proven not guilty, he can.
Yeah.
So everything is contingent around him being guilty if you want to stop the narrative from growing and going.
I agree 100%. And chances are you're probably right. You probably will be. I mean, the second impeachment, you know, rightfully so, because that was the phone call to the Ukraine people about getting dirt on the Biden administration, the Hunter Biden situation, and he said that was, you know, a gross neglect of duty on his part. Then the phone calls that he made to the various state attorney generals to go out and find votes and to come up with a way to stop the election, going after Pence, saying that he has an opportunity to basically not recognize the votes of the American public. So I think there's just so much that can't be ignored. But again, it's in the hands of Congress, and we know how that goes, because you got Republicans on one side that will go to their graves for this guy, and there's one that won't, and that's Liz Cheney. She's a Republican, I think an extremely smart lady.
Yes.
She stands for the right thing, and she basically put her political career on the line because her belief is that, you know, she's going to do what's right. She comes from a political family. Her dad was high-ranking
in the
Bush administration. So she's nobody's, puppet. She will stand on her own. And I would think that those folks that call themselves Republicans would get aligned with her and do what's right. That's what it boils down to.
And like you said, like I'm always been, whoever do the best job, I vote for.
Thank you very much.
That's what I've always been. I've never been really too leaning towards a party.
No.
I've always been like, okay, this person seem like they own it. This person seem like they own it. This person seem like they don't. So I always look at that and try to get out that partyism type of stuff.
Yeah, that's why I had high regards for the senator from Arizona that Trump dogged out, McCain.
Yeah.
All right, McCain was that kind
of guy. I had high regards for him too, because he had an opportunity to be like Trump when he ran against Obama, and he didn't. He chose to go the higher road, and he accepted him as a brother.
Yes, he did, because I seen what was a town hall meeting once, and this lady stood up, and she started talking about him being a radical Muslim and like that, and John McCain stopped her in her tracks.
And man.
He said, no, I'm not going to let you do that. This is a fine, upstanding citizen that wants to represent this country.
That earned the right.
That earned the right.
To be at this table, to be voted, for you to vote for him.
And that's what's missing in this country, man. That kind of leadership. He had his Republican platform. He understood what he stood for, and he embraced that. But he also had the intestinal fortitude to stand up and talk against something that was wrong. Okay, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And you can't dress it up, you can't make it go away. And those are the kind of folks that we need to be a part of the leadership of this country. Because we need that kind of cooperation to get out of the situation that we're in. They can't fight each other down this party line because we got this group that want to support 45.
Yeah.
There's too much at stake right now.
You're right, man.
And that's why it's so important, come August 2nd.
That's right.
For the people in this community to go out and vote for your congressmen, your senators, your judges. You know, they've made it easy now. You can do absentee voting. You don't have to go stand in line.
That's what I do.
But you got to vote, man. People that are listening, implore your neighbors, your children, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, that voting is still an important part of the democracy of this country. And to just look the other way, it's not going to change anything. It's going to become the status quo. So take it upon yourselves. Don't listen to the rhetoric about your vote don't count, because it does. It makes a difference. But collectively, we have to go out and vote August 2nd. And when the general election comes, midterms in November, we got to do the same thing.
Yeah, you're right. I want to get two shout outs to two people that I've seen working for years, building something and doing something. First one is Kaya Thornton, Mr. Thornton's daughter. That used to be like our film guy when we was at Hikes. He volunteered to be the film guy. Okay. And he used to record all our games, used to be everywhere. And Kaya has this restaurant in Muskegon that's really a community hub called Us Cafe. But something she did monumental yesterday was having Fifth Third come with the actual financial bus to look at people's credit reports, show them the home buyer process, and how to set up bank accounts for business and personal. And okay. I was like, wow, that's how you connect the hood to your opportunity. So I just want to give, she's been on a lot of other things, but us being in this financial space, Tony, I really appreciated seeing that with her.
Yeah, you know, and she also, Chief Shane, Shane in the Heights, you know, he goes there, I don't know, like two or three more.
He making his neighborhood spot. Yep.
Right.
He rolled through that. He's a former high school graduate.
Did you give him a platform to be, you know, be out there?
To be a community officer.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. He knows that. He comes from a line of community officers. Lotris, all those guys. Mosain comes from that flock. But those guys used to be able to ride down in the neighborhood and come in your house.
Okay.
I remember Pittman brother used to come in our crib.
Okay, Bill.
Yeah, I know him good. He could see me. I visited a church like 2 years ago. He saw me, put his hand on my shoulder. He was like, he always was coming to my house. I'm not going to tell you for what, but he always used to come to my house.
Right.
Harry Evans, Steve White, they always used to be around East Park Manor where they was approachable. They'd be like, they can get at you.
Yes.
And it wasn't disrespectful. It was like, oh, I know you. What's up?
That's right. That's a relationship, right? Yep. And that's what's missing. You had mentioned earlier about an event at Smith Ryerson.
Yep.
Okay. That what was the name of it?
Keep the Peace.
Keep the Peace.
Yep.
Police officers showed up.
They was there. They had the ice cream wagon out there. I was giving ice creams away to kids. State trooper was out there. The sheriff came. And it's just a presence, but they not there to be like trying to watch everybody. They was just hanging out.
Letting them know that, you know, they're there to help and serve and protect. And we know there are bad actors. When it comes to law enforcement, but all of them are not, okay? And it's kind of getting back to what we're saying is that policing is a relationship, okay? And
I'm glad we got them.
Yeah, I'm glad we got them.
So it's just an opportunity for those guys to come out and talk to people and let them know, you know, we're here to help protect and serve, and hopefully that message will resonate to other officers that are potentially on the fence. Yep. About how they what their role is in the community.
Another person, and she started out working with the county, being a grant writer, and I've done some work with her. It's Connie Sparrow, and she's a person that helps people leverage their business into the cannabis business.
Oh, okay.
So they had an event. They had an event called the Cannabash last weekend. I think the Loonies came, Trick, you know, some rap artists, and I don't think they didn't have no violence, anything happen. But I remember her working in the county. Well, she was so instrumental in getting so many grants and things done, but she had these fresh ideas to help out youth and community, and she was being blocked. And she said, all right, well, I'm just going to step out of this and go on my own. And going on her own was building the space we have today. When you talk about $2 billion being pumped into our economy through cannabis, but imagine, last time I checked, I saw the prosecutor asking for some of the $800,000 that was in the slush fund for the marijuana, and I'm like, wow, that's because of Connie Sparrow.
Okay.
Because she's helping the business owners have these spaces in the city of Muskegon. So my next thing is, how do we get people that want to be employed that look like us in our community now? That's the next step, because these spaces like Miss Grow, they got benefits. They got insurance plans. They living their life, and you're talking about $2 billion being pumped in the economy, and we got a slush fund down in our county with $800,000, and probably more now, where people are saying, I need some more fire trucks, or I need some more prosecutors. And where am I gonna get the money from? The cannabis? But then you can remember a time when our prosecutor was totally against. No, it's not going to be in my community. Yeah. Now he asking for the money.
Yeah.
So that go all complete circle. Somebody's at work at the county, steps out, creates a whole industry where the prosecutor got to ask for the money, the something that you didn't want in the first place.
Right.
Wow. So like, and I just want to say this to our audience. We got to start looking at things with an open mind. Because everything is good until it's taken out of context and when it's going beyond moderation.
You're absolutely right.
When you go beyond moderation and when you take it out of context, that's when it's bad.
Yeah.
Because alcohol, smoking, marijuana, driving, relationships.
Let's be real, man. Bars are everywhere, right? Alcohol is a big part of bike time.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of beer sales going on.
And this somebody is talking, I don't drink, I don't smoke.
Right. None of those things attract you.
Yeah, I don't do them, but I'm not going to shut it down when I see an opportunity for somebody to have to help with their health, to have a social time where they can have a good time, where they don't take it out of context and they do it in moderation. So I'm just saying that I'm looking at these spaces and these people that, Tony, like, we needed them.
There's a lot of money that's being pumped into the economy that where else would it have come from? Where are you going to get these additional dollars? Because if you go to the public and say, okay, we want to put up another millage, people are saying, no, we're not, you know, my property taxes are high enough. I'm not giving any more money. Mm-hmm. So this is another source of revenue. And at some point in time, if the general public don't like it, they can vote it down. Remember, we went through prohibition in this country for years, and organized crime made billions of dollars.
And they said, hold up, they're getting it right. They're criminals now. Lock them up. Get the idea from him.
Yeah, the lottery system, same thing, right?
Yep, same thing.
Ran by the mob.
Yep.
Okay. States, or every state in the union has a lottery now.
Now, money goes to the schools.
Yeah.
And the roads. Okay. Supposedly.
So, here we go. Marijuana.
Yep.
Same deal. And they're saying, okay, the paradigm has shifted.
Yes.
And we're going to give the public what they want as long as they're willing to pay for it.
Yep. Well, that's our show audience. I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your fine success with 103.7 The Beat.